name of Allah. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to the program, The Teacher, with me, your host, Muhammad. Today, we're going to talk about the consequences of coercion in religion. Stay tuned. Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. Today, we will discuss the very delicate subject of the consequences of coercion in religion. When we say coercion, we mean compulsion, resorting to force, compelling someone to accept religion or believe in a particular way. Islam does not force people who are non-Muslims to believe in Islam. It is their choice, and they have the freedom to believe in Islam if they want to. If they don't, it's okay. Human beings have been created with free will to accept or reject an idea or belief. The verse that comes to mind when talking about this topic is without a doubt the second verse of Ayatul Kursi, which is in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 256, which reads, "There is no compulsion in religion. Guidance, meaning the right path, has become distinct from error. So one who disavows the rebels and has faith in Allah has held fast to the firmest handle for which there is no breaking, and Allah is all-hearing, all-knowing." This verse dispels any doubt about there being no coercion and compulsion in religion. Now, let's just say, what would happen if someone is forced to believe in a religion? I mean, what are the consequences of forcing someone into believing in Islam? First of all, that person, even if he says that he has accepted the religion of Islam, might not actually have faith in it. It is like torturing someone to confess something which he does not believe to be true. Just imagine what this person will think about such a religion, and this person is going to tell everyone how cruel and aggressive such a religion is that it forces people to follow it. So this is one of the consequences of coercion in religion.
Every day I see the same headlines, crimes committed in the name of the divine, people committing atrocities in his name. They murder and kidnap with no shame. But did he teach hatred, violence, or bloodshed? No, oh no. He taught us about human brotherhood and against prejudice he firmly stood. He loved children, their hands he'd hold, and taught his followers to respect the old. So would he allow the murder of an innocent child? Oh no.
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. We're discussing the consequences of coercion in religion. Some people think that as Muslims, they can do whatever they want to do because Allah says, "La ikraha fi din," meaning there is no compulsion in religion. This may or may not be true. We have to look at the context and situation these Muslims are living in. Yes, if a Muslim is living in a non-Muslim country where there is no limit to freedom, He is free to do whatever he wants. But is such a person even considered a true Muslim? Does a person who has accepted Islam as the true religion and knows that Islam has certain limits which should not be crossed, and there is no such thing as absolute freedom and lack of restraint in Islam, consider himself as a Muslim? Yes, there is no compulsion in religion. The true path and the wrong path are clear, and one has to choose one of them. But the moment a person chooses the right path, that is Islam and religion, is there still no compulsion in fulfilling religious obligations and refraining from sins? No, because this person himself has accepted to oblige himself to certain actions and limit his freedoms, because this is what Islam commands. So this is one situation. The other situation is a Muslim country with Islamic laws. Can a person do whatever he wants? Does he have the freedom, since there's no compulsion in religion, to do whatever he wants? Again, the answer is no. Such a person must obey the laws of that Muslim country, just as he must obey the laws of a non-Muslim country. So it is very important to correctly understand the meaning of the verse, La ikraha fid-din. Now, let's listen to Sheikh Hamza Yusuf, who will talk about today's topic.
La ikraha fid-din. Any type of coercion leads to hypocrisy. You just turn people into hypocrites, and they don't believe what they're doing. And obviously, every society has standards. So America has a hijab, England has a hijab, and they impose it by law. You cannot walk naked in the West. It's illegal. You'll be arrested. So that is an imposition of a hijab law. But who determines what the boundaries or the hudud of that are? Right? I mean, this is the debate. So in Islam, you know, the free woman's awra is defined, whereas in the West, the awra is defined by the social standards. 100 years ago in the West, a woman could have been arrested for wearing a miniskirt, right? Because it would have been considered public lewdness, and she would have been arrested. Well, that's not the case anymore. So standards, those social standards change. The Sharia doesn't change. These are thawabit in Sharia. So people can't come now, 1400 years later, and tell us, oh, 1400 years the Muslims got it all wrong. Now, you know, in this great enlightened age of Islamic illumination, we've realized what the Quran really meant. You know, that argument is patently absurd, because one, the Sahaba understood the Arabic, and the Prophet ﷺ was there to show them, and we have the hadith, and people say, oh, they want to condemn the hadith, and say, well, it's I don't believe in the hadith. There are mutawatir hadith that you cannot condemn. If you condemn them, it's the same. Because we have, you know, we have an epistemology. Just like the West has an epistemological approach to things, Muslims have an epistemological approach to things. So we have mutawatir, that's part of our epistemology. We have ahad, that's part of our epistemology. We have akhbar, we have dhaniyat. We have hadsiyat, we have wahmiyat. These are all part of the epistemological approach of Muslims. A mutawatir khabar is 100% epistemologically sound. It's factual. So if the Prophet ﷺ said something and it's mutawatir, and you deny it, it's denying the Quran. It's the same, because the Quran is mutawatir. And so there's these people who say, oh, I only accept the Quran, the Quraniyun. They've already rejected the Quran.
A teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of him?
Welcome back, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program, The Teacher. We were discussing the consequences of coercion in religion. Islam does not impose itself on others. Those who claim to be Muslims and say that you either convert to Islam or we will kill you, these are the extremists who know nothing about Islam. And the truth of the matter is that these groups who are called terrorists by the mass media have been created by the world powers to tarnish the image of Islam. These people are not Muslims. They're giving a bad name to Islam. The true Islam is a religion which clearly explains itself, its philosophy, its ideology, its politics, and in general, its rules and regulations to people, and allows them to freely make a choice to accept or reject Islam. In fact, Islam is saying that a belief that is accepted of one's own free will is a lot more valuable than one which is accepted forcefully. The issue of freedom is a very delicate subject. Westerners who are against the Islamic system of government say that people should have absolute freedom and that there's no limit to freedom except freedom itself. This means that one should have the freedom of doing anything unless it interferes with the freedom of others. On the other hand, Islam says that you have total freedom to accept or reject Islam, but once you have accepted Islam, you have willingly limited your freedom because Islam has certain limits to freedom which have been placed because they're in the interest of mankind. That is because Allah knows our interests better than us because, you know, He's our creator. He is the one who has created us. And that is why He sets limits to our freedom. So Islam never forces anyone to accept Islam. And if someone does such a thing, it will have many consequences to Islam. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, for listening to this episode of The Teacher. You can log on to our website at parstoday.com or email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.